episode 9, podcast number 9 of Insane Ramblings of Crazy Old Men, where Ray and Mike talk about Michael Barrymore, smart motorways, Mossad, and knife crime. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, awesome, Raymond. How are you?
I tell you something, it was cold this morning. What was the weather like with you?
Oh, -2.
It was -2 with me.
Yeah.
It's hardly surprising, I suppose.
We live fairly close.
I was watching an interesting programme last night.
Which one was that?
Well, it was the interesting programme of the week. And probably of the month, probably of the year.
Mr. Barrymore. Mr. Barrymore.
Mr. Barrymore, that's right. Yeah, poor old Mr. Barrymore. Mind you, it depends on what side of the fence you sit. Have you formed any judgments?
I never liked him in his heyday, as it were.
No, I didn't like him either.
I just found him nauseating, so maybe I'm biased.
So a lot of people love Michael Barrymore. I think a lot of people started to love Michael Barrymore more when he did that, was it a Celebrity Big Brother with Pete Burns?
Yeah.
And he came second. And he seemed like a really nice guy. So there's part of me thinking, there he is. He's a great entertainer. He seems very genuine when you see him on the telly. But if I was Stuart Lubick's dad, I'd want to rip his head off. You know, he caused the death of my son in some way, shape or form. Whatever he did, somehow, either verdantly, if there is such a word, or inadvertently.
Verdantly.
Or even verdantly, he facilitated the death.
I think it was the two guys, the two thugs, and I just think...
Allegedly thugs,
and I just think Barrymore was helping to cover it up.
Well, there were 8 people there, weren't there, including Barrymore, and Stuart Lubick's dad says the cock-up was from the police in the first place. They should have done a lot more forensics. I think They just went in and either incentivised to look the wrong way or... They were just totally incompetent. Wasn't there a towel that was covered in Lubick's blood?
I'm surprised because normally they secure the crime scene and don't let anybody in or out apart from police.
Although they didn't know it was a crime scene. It was a death scene, wasn't it? Either way, they should have totally closed it down.
If you've got a dead body, you should close it down until a medic has ascertained at least approximately cause of death.
That's right.
I mean, the things they didn't do, which they didn't mention, I didn't think the programme was particularly good.
Didn't come up with anything new, hardly.
I mean, first of all, you'd expect them to take a sample of the pool water. I mean, if the guy, because they said there was a towel covered in blood. Now, you'd think that would raise suspicions if there's blood everywhere. So you'd take a sample of the pool water. You'd certainly keep the towel. And if it was a party going on with people going everywhere, I would have thought you'd look around the house to see if there are any more signs of blood or disturbance. And as soon as I saw a jacuzzi, I'd take a sample of the water from the jacuzzi.
Well, I find it hard to believe that the doctors can't agree whether the guy drowned or not. I would have thought that if someone living and breathing was in a swimming pool, they would have been taking in a lot of water that would have gone obviously into their lungs. In forensics, they would have been able to look at that.
Well, the experts did agree. It was only the first guy that said he drowned.
Who was discredited with other cases, wasn't he, after that? Yeah, he got kicked out.
All the other experts said because there was no water in his lungs, because the lungs weren't moving about, that it wasn't drowning that killed him. And their conclusion was that the severity of his injuries were what had caused his death.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was pretty unequivocal. And I just thought Barrymore's solicitor, who suggested that idea that he had that damage to him. First of all, he said it was at the hospital. He was undamaged when he actually left Barrymore's place. Well, everybody knows that after you're dead, you can't experience bruising and petechiae. And also, your body doesn't bleed because your heart stopped.
Yeah, your body's not going to bleed as much anyway, nowhere near as much.
And the fact that they found the body with that towel soaked in blood demonstrates it occurred at Barrymore's. Then the solicitor tried to change the tack and said, well, he probably had the injuries when he left the club. But then the police produced a CCTV video that showed the guy walking normally. And all the experts said, with that extent of injuries, he wouldn't have been able to walk normally.
It's like that Sherlock Holmes thing, isn't it? Where he says, when you eliminate the impossible, no matter what's left, no matter how improbable, has got to be the solution. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's incredibly unlikely he suffered those injuries in the club. And it's incredibly unlikely that he suffered those injuries when he went into the hospital. And it's far more likely he suffered those injuries when he was in Barrymore's house.
Yeah.
That's just common sense. So if he suffered them when he was in Barrymore's house, the big question is, was Barrymore complicit? Was he involved in it? Or did he know anything about it? Or did he know nothing about it?
Barrymore himself suggested, when he was interviewed by Piers Morgan, that the guy could have leapt and damaged himself on the edge of a pool. I mean, my God. First of all, they said, did he do one of those water bombs? And, I mean, I've seen loads of people doing that in swimming pools. And none of them had died with those horrific injuries.
Just hurt your arse, though, sometimes.
Yeah, but then what have you got to land on to do those sorts of injuries?
Unless, of course, you landed on the thermometer that happened to be just floating in the water
upside
vertically.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And talking of which, that thermometer disappeared, which is odd. I mean, there's a load of odd things. Like, for example, Barrymore, before the police came, gathered all his stuff. While this guy was ringing up the police and saying, there's a geezer, mate, there's a geezer dead. I think he's dead in a pool. Well, you better come around. While this guy was doing that, Barrymore had gathered all his stuff and he'd left the house.
Yeah.
In fact, he didn't even jump into the water to pull this guy out.
Well, he claimed he couldn't swim, but then his ex-wife and some friends produced videos and things like that of him swimming on holiday.
Yeah, the chances of Barrymore not being able to swim are slim. And if you tell a lie like that, what are the chances of you telling other lies?
The big debate at the moment is about these smart motorways.
Yeah.
Because the head of the police board said these are death traps, so they shouldn't be done. And the facts are 35 people have died on smart motorways since 2015.
Well, smart motorways have got to be the most stupid things that anyone's ever thought of. I mean, the whole idea of the motorway when they first started building them was you had a hard shoulder in case there was any problems. You pulled over into some degree of safety. And even above and beyond that, now you are recommended to get out of the car and get over that little metal barrier that's at the side. So you should be safe there. But if they take that away, and as you pointed out to me the other day, sometimes there's not even a little bar you can get over. Sometimes you're stuck in your car on the hard shoulder. You're just reliant on someone looking through a CCTV camera to move the traffic away from where you happen to have broken down. It's insanity.
Well, they said that near misses, apparently on the M25, rose 20-fold to 1,500 in 5 years since the hard shoulder was taken away. The comparison was, in the previous 5 years, before this hard shoulder was taken away, it was 28 near misses. So 28 to 1,500, hell of a jump.
So, Mike, you said there was some audio clip of something really bad that happened up in Sheffield.
Yeah, on the M1. Why not play it? It's only about 30 seconds.
Let's have a listen to that.
So, I'm stuck in the middle of the M6. My car's broken down.
Okay, whereabouts on the M6?
I'm on the left-hand lane. I've passed Knutsford. I don't have a bearing, I'm afraid.
Okay, are you going north or southbound?
I'm going northbound, got the hazards on. What else can I do? Because I've got a family of five in the car.
Okay, don't worry. And you say there's five people in the car?
Yeah, my...
Hello? Hello?
That's horrible. That's just absolutely...
I know. It's scary, isn't it? I'd be much more careful. And apparently the widow of a driver killed on a smart motorway, that same bit where there's been five deaths at the M1 near Sheffield, she's launched a corporate manslaughter case against Highways England. So that's going to be interesting.
Do you think it's anything to do with HS2?
No.
That they're trying to make the motorways less safe. So
people go on HS2.
Yeah.
Interesting idea. Interesting idea. Some chaps, some Mexicans, I presume, or Colombians or something. This is in the States. Well, it's sort of in the States and Mexico. These drug people have, you know, that nice Mr. Trump is putting up a wall. Yes?
Yes.
Well, these clever people have built a tunnel from Mexico to the States. It's 70 foot below the ground, so it can't be detected. It's 4,309 feet long, which, if you remember from your school maths, that's about 4/5 of a mile. And it featured an extensive light rail system, forced air ventilation, high voltage electric cables, a lift and a drainage system. I think these people, they should be praised. I mean, my God, talk about industry. That's brilliant.
They should have brought it all the way up to New York. Maybe they could have had a HS2 on there.
Yeah,
like that.
Bring it all the way over here. Anyway, I think you've got a bit of vegan news for us, haven't you?
Yes, you...
Because vegans are like the thing at the moment.
Well, you can make vegan clothes out of things that, for example, aren't leather, which sounds like a good idea. If you happen to be a vegan shop, you want to be selling leather jackets.
Yeah, but I thought you were going to have a pair of shoes made out of Buster.
Yeah, but I'm going to wait till he's dead.
Because I'm going to have a waistcoat made out of my cats.
Now?
Yeah, pretty soon. The problem is they don't match. One's black and white and one's tortoise shell. But it'll be trendy.
Well, I can understand you're not wanting something made out of leather. Not making something made out of wool, I don't quite get, because I'm sure sheep need to be sheared. I mean, they've been genetically created, so they need shearing. So it would be cruel not to shear them, although you could chuck all the wool in a bin, I suppose. But the problem is, it's not really leather and wool, which they can avoid these vegan shops, but it's the glues and things that...
Oh, of course, aren't they made out of horse's hooves?
I remember when I was at school,
cattle hooves.
And I went to woodwork lessons with Mr. Fletcher, and he was teaching me to make a shark, and I had to sand it down. Anyway, the bottom line was, I could smell this fantastic smell coming out of a pot in his room. And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "It's the glue that we use to put the wood together." I thought, "That's cool." I said, "Why is it boiling in there?" He said, "It's made out of horse's hooves." I thought he was kidding. But, of course, he wasn't.
Yeah,
it's the gelatin from the, presumably the gelatin from the horse's hooves. And I've been hooked on it ever since.
Did he send you text messages when you went off to university?
He did.
He told me you'd been a good boy and he's going to check up on you.
That's right.
He's been in the papers, hasn't he?
Not Mr. Fletcher.
Not Mr. Fletcher, no. Some other chap in North Wales.
Yes, but texting girls. I mean, and that's a legal conundrum, isn't it? Because presumably at the school, when he's their headmaster, he can't send them anything remotely inappropriate. But once they've left the school and they are over the age of 18 and they go off to university, and he sends them a message saying, "Do you want me to come up there and make sure you're being a good girl?"
Well,
is that illegal or just weird?
I think he started off with quite a nice thing. Actually, to contact somebody while they're at university, say about a month in,
yeah,
and say, "How's things going? Hope you're doing well. You know, if there's any problems that I can help with, let me know." That would be really good, I think.
Yeah.
I think the question in his case is, did he start grooming them when they were still at school? Because if he did, that is an offence.
Yes. By the way, there's another news item, which is quite funny. Apparently, this is a woman on a flight, and she tried to kiss a man, offered to perform sex acts, and started to pull down her trousers and underwear. So she was...
Didn't he say, "You'll have to leave me alone, I'm flying a plane"?
Apparently she was drinking this duty-free vodka, always a bad thing, and she's on prescription medication. Her name is Louise White, by the way, and she's 38, and she had to be moved away from her distressed daughter on the TUI flight after crews became concerned about her disgusting behaviour. Mm. And now she's on the sex offenders register.
My God.
Yeah.
The other story that I liked is about this. Have you heard about this Egyptian guy that became a secret agent for Mossad?
No.
He worked for Mossad from 1970 to 1999. Oh, but yeah, he must have worked for them before that. Apparently what happened, this guy phones up how he identified. There was a Mossad agent known as the Angel. You know, this is incredible. And it takes place in the Royal Lancaster Hotel near Hyde Park in London. And this guy phoned up this spy and said, "I need to meet you in this hotel room," you see. So the Mossad agent meets him. And this guy turns up that he's never met before. And he's got a complete breakdown of the Egyptian army. There's all the names of the officers. There's the battle orders. The guy said there were details on divisions, brigades, battalions, numbers next to each unit, all this sort of thing. Who was the commander of the division? And this was just before the Yom Kippur War, so it was like pretty vital. Anyway, it turns out, get this, this Egyptian who went in to see the Mossad agent was actually the son-in-law of Nasser, of President Nasser.
Jeez.
So whether there was some sort of grudge there, and he carried on afterwards because the successor to Nasser, was it Sadat, he was so impressed with this guy being so bright that he kept him on, so the guy was still supplying him with information. As I say, it carried on till 1998. But then, strangely, again in London, this chap who was working for Mossad, to quote, fell to his death from a London apartment with unknown circumstances. So he was rumbled in the end.
Was Michael Barrymore there?
No, he fell onto the pavement, not into the swimming pool.
I have strong opinions about people who go around with huge knives or machetes.
Oh, yeah.
My opinion is that it's not a good thing. And
unless they're a butcher.
I don't think it's a good thing if you're going around with a machete or a huge knife, because it may not be for purely defensive purposes. It might be because you're an aggressive, nasty bastard who wants to do something pretty unpleasant.
Well, you know that chap that stabbed those people the other day near London Bridge, the one that was shot, the witness described him as carrying a long serrated knife as long as his forearm.
Jesus.
I mean, that is like, I mean, my forearm's not huge, but it's got to be a couple of feet. What excuse would you have for carrying a serrated hunting knife that's 2 foot long?
Now, the excuse is that if you were to carry a machete or a long
letter
knife,
opener,
you would hardly get any sentence at all. In fact, there's one article here, again, in the Manchester Evening News. Thanks, Manchester Evening News. A guy called Shaquille Powell Anderson, he's 19. He was arrested after the public called the police when they saw him with a huge blade, 11-inch blade, near Burger King in Piccadilly Gardens. Now, I know Burger King,
they're pretty tough.
They are difficult to cut, but
Opening those sachets of tomato ketchup, that's a nightmare.
Well, he had a combat knife. As I said, it was 11 inches long. And when he was asked why he had it, he said, no comment, which I suppose is fair enough. So they sentenced him to 20 months in a young offenders institution, which he'll probably get out after about 10 months.
So that they come out after a third, don't they?
They come out, yeah, I think you're right.
But as well as that, within that, they have to take into account the time they've been in police custody. So if you've been in custody for a month leading up to the trial, that month also comes off the sentence.
Yeah, the guy was from Birmingham. And
Birmingham?
He was from Birmingham, and he said he now wants to put his crimes behind him and wants to move forward with his life. I think it's quite nice, isn't it?
He's becoming a butcher.